Welcome to the Create Your Shape podcast. I'm Jenny, the nutritionist, and I'll be teaching you the strategy, structure, and science to build muscle and decrease body fat, specifically for ladies who work out. Hello, friends. This week on the podcast, I'm interviewing my friend, Henem, also known as Mrs. Macros. And I wanted to have her on for a handful of reasons. I'm sure you guys have seen her in my Instagram stories. She's obviously very fit and very in shape. She also owns a what's called Macro Kitchen out here in Bali. So she is very well versed in macros, in creating meals, in tracking herself. She's super macro savvy, and it really is a lifestyle for her, which obviously gets represented in not only in her shape, but she's also an athlete and has competed in weightlifting. Well, we'll get into all of it. I'll let her explain all of it because she really does do it all. So, Henem, if you'd like to introduce yourself, and maybe first we can talk about maybe where you're from, and then we'll get into your story of how you got into fitness and training and nutrition at this level, and then just go through everything. And just to give you guys a heads up, she speaks, you're working on your fourth language now. So, you know, it's Arabic and French, and then you learned English, but then really became proficient in it in the past couple of years, which I did not know. Yes, and now she corrects me on my English, which if you listen to this podcast, you know, is probably needed. But so I'm excited for you to share just your story because I met you out here in Bali. And yeah, just give us a little rundown of where you're from and how you got out here to Bali.
Yeah. Hi, Jenny. Thank you for having me.
Yes.
So I'm from Tunisia. I was born in Tunisia and I lived my entire life there. Never thought of moving out of Tunisia.
Can I stop for a second?
Yeah, sure.
Because I know my listeners from America are like, where is Tunisia?
Yeah. I always forget about that.
And it is in Northern Africa. It's next to Algeria, right? And Egypt, right?
Yeah. So it's very, the smallest country in North Africa. It's in between Libya and Algeria, next to Morocco. And yeah, so it's by the Mediterranean Sea. Yeah, this tiny little piece of land.
And so from there, you moved to, that's where you obviously spoke Arabic and French. Mm-hmm. And then from there, you had an opportunity to move, right?
Yeah. So, I was based in Tunisia. I was working as a physiotherapist. So I worked with the volleyball national team. Then I had my own clinic. And then from there, the revolution happened. I don't know if you guys heard about that.
So we definitely do not learn about that in school.
Okay. No, I mean, it was in 2011. And then the opportunity came to move to Qatar, Doha, to work with the handball team. And I never thought I'm going to move to Doha. But then because of the circumstances and of the revolution, it was very unstable. So I took the opportunity and I moved there to work with the handball team. And I thought it's going to be just for a couple of years, just to wait and see what's going to happen back home. And then I ended up staying there for 7 years.
Oh, wow. Yeah. I didn't realize it was that long.
Yeah, it's 7 years. And then, so when I was there, I was traveling to Asia many times. And then I found myself coming back to Bali. And I really, really liked it here. And then I thought, I'll give it a shot and see how it goes. And I'm still here now after 4 years and a half.
Wow. Yeah. So, okay. So you've been a little all over. And if you guys don't know where Qatar is, because that's another one, it is in the Middle East. It's by Saudi Arabia?
Yeah.
Okay. Saudi Arabia?
Yeah, it's next to Dubai, Emirates, and Saudi Arabia. Yeah.
Okay. So now kind of shifting into your like fitness and nutrition background, you sent pictures of me, or not of me, of you from back in the day, and you're like, this is when I just ran all the time. And it's crazy to see the drastic, you know, difference between how much more in shape you are now versus back then. So can you kind of walk us through your like fitness and nutrition journey?
So I was never into fitness when I was young. So I did like a little bit of, you know, basketball, tennis when I was very young. And then I had to stop all a kind of sport and activity for like 3 years, I think. I had surgery for on my ankle when I was young. And then after that, I was starting university. We wanted to be skinny. And then I started to like do aerobic classes. And then, the skinnier, the better. And then I got into running a lot, and I didn't do any, I was just trying to get as skinny as possible, by running and by restricting food. And then when I moved to Qatar, actually, I was still running a lot, never lifted weights or anything. And then in Qatar, it's really, really hot. So you cannot be outside maybe three months of the year is the maximum you can be outside. Then most of the year you have to be inside in the AC. And as you know, running on the treadmill is just boring.
Yeah.
So I started to look into do other stuff. And then that's how I started CrossFit. And then it was the complete shift, I found myself in an environment that was more focused where performance matters more than the look.
Yeah.
And then I wanted to get stronger. That's how the mindset shifted. And that's why I realized that with not fueling and not eating enough, that's not going to happen. And then I started learning about nutrition, and I started to track more to fuel and get more get better performance rather than tracking just to lose weight and mm-hmm. be under a certain weight. So that's how the shift happened.
So then from there, did you realize the power of nutrition, and that kind of shifted your career too? You moved here to Bali, and then did you have a big aha with nutrition of how it changed your fitness and in physique, and then came to build Macro Kitchen, or how did that transition happen?
Yeah, so it happened before I moved to Bali. So when I started CrossFit, I started CrossFit 2 years in Qatar, mm-hmm. after 2 years. So it was in the beginning. And then with that, I started being more, passionate about nutrition and how to fuel the performance. And then after I did my degree in nutrition coaching.
Mm-hmm.
And then I started applying that to myself. And actually, so the look was a byproduct when I was trying to get stronger and getting the right fuel to get better at CrossFit.
Yeah.
I didn't really chase the look, but it just happened because I was eating enough and, trying to get stronger. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is so fun. Just from a mental perspective is so fun because if you enjoy being an athlete, then that's the focus versus feeling restricted. How do I become well-fueled versus how do I restrict myself?
Yeah. And also it's because I didn't really know that eating more would allow, as you say all the time, my shape to change without being fat.
Yeah.
So I was actually, I don't know if I showed you the picture. I have a picture of myself weighing 7 kilos more. I don't know what's that in pounds.
It's 15 pounds.
Yeah. And then wearing the same jeans. Which was mind blowing for me, because I thought if I put on weight, I'm going to be fat. But then, putting on more muscle and losing fat, that happened during the process. That it didn't happen overnight. Of course, it took a few years, but I realized that the scale actually was not really representative of the way you look,
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. This is so good because I feel a lot of my ladies experience this. And then when we start talking about training and we start focusing on progressing your lifts and tracking your lifts, and it becomes fun for them. And then also focusing on fueling that training. And obviously in Create Your Shape too, we're talking about aesthetic changes, but kind of combining the two, because a lot of them have performance goals as mm-hmm. well, but kind of combining the two. But you can see how they play together. So, okay. So you come here, you've had this experience with macros and fueling yourself. And then you open up Macro Kitchen, which is a meal prep company here in Bali. And it is obviously macro based, and I use it. They fuel me weekly too. So What is your approach with the meals? I think I have an idea, obviously, because I use them. But as far as when you think about putting together the meals for the meal plans that you guys do for people here, is there a certain approach that you guys use?
Yeah, so let's talk about how we got the idea to open Macro Kitchen.
Yeah.
So when we came to Bali, like the fitness scene here is amazing, right? There is like lots of gyms, many like fitness enthusiasts. And then when we just arrived, like there were not many macro-based cafes or so the food was healthy and everyone was like, you know, into healthy food and trying to be as healthy as possible. But then there was no, there was no,
they weren't macro
yes.
friendly.
Yes. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because even the ones that are out here now, which maybe there's a little more that are a little yes. bit more like yeah. macro conscious,
yeah.
they're not like super macro friendly. It's like just any meal and here are the macros on
yes.
it.
Yeah, 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 yeah. So that's exactly, that's what we tried to do. We're like, okay, what we want to have if we go in a place like that or what or seek a service like that is to have a meals that are made either pre-made with balanced macros or customized to the client's mm-hmm. needs and wants. So that's why, like, we started the cafe with a menu that were like had options for like different types of people. So if you are trying to get a high carb meal, you will find that. If you have moderate carb meals, you will find that. If you want on the lower side, you will find that. And then as we went by, we had people asking, would you provide a macro based meal plan? Mm-hmm. Because we know our macros and we want it to be, you know, all set and ready for us to go. And that's yeah. that's how we started to do the meal plan. And then we started with one person, then two and three. And then, you know, and then the service became, that's, you know, what we offer is providing a macro meal plan that would fit your plan, your lifestyle macros. And your macros, you know?
Yeah. So if you guys are ever in Bali, you ever come to visit, then I definitely suggest checking it out because here's the thing. Even if you do come to Bali, like sure, you're going to be eating out and enjoying it, but you don't want to be doing that 24/7. So get like 60 to 80% of your meals by them and then go and do all these different things the other part of the time. But if you're like, okay, I'm not in Bali, don't plan to go on anytime soon, then listen to how she's thought about the meals and how she's thought about this process, because then you can apply it to how you make your own meals. So I feel like that would be really beneficial. So, okay, so then you started Macro Kitchen to kind of probably also to fill your own needs, because you're like, wait, yes. I need this food. Yeah. But then also you realize that there's a whole like ton of people who would need that. And did you tailor it to fitness people, people who are lifting, people who are either want to like fuel themselves for performance or build muscle or consciously decrease body fat? Is that who you had in mind?
You know, we didn't really had in mind because, you know, there is a variety of people. As you said, some people want to lose weight, some people want to perform, mm-hmm. and some people want keto diet. Some you know, it's like you cannot like have just one type of person.
Yeah.
So that's why we wanted to be completely customized. So we will ask the client to either give us the macros if they have the macros, or we get a consultation with them. We sit with them and we talk about the goal.
Yep.
If the goal to lose and the goal and the lifestyle, and we set up macros that would fit the goal that would help them to reach their goals.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay. And then I'm thinking about I'm on the, what are they called? The a la carte meals?
The single meals.
Single meals, yeah. Which I love because there's, first of all, you have three different kind of options in mind. The high protein, high carb, like higher calorie, right? And then moderate calorie and then lower calorie.
Yeah.
But essentially, they're great for probably one, depending on the size of the person and their needs. But specifically, I'm thinking that for me and then like my type of ladies, it really is, oh, if you're in the building phase or if you're maintaining or if you're in the deficit, right? It kind of segments it out. So for those meals, they're typically like moderate to maybe high protein and then high carb. And then I would consider lowish fat. And I find that that's perfect. And that's what a lot of my ladies need and need to like set up their meals that way.
Yeah.
Is that how you set up your own meals too?
Yeah. Exactly. It's because also like, you know, having more like 80% maybe of our clients are into fitness.
Yeah.
So they would need the carbs for the fuel. They would need the protein and they don't really need high fat. So they would need the fat to be low, or just enough to, you know, for the goal.
Yeah.
So, that's how I design. I put the meals together, always like a protein source, veggies and a carb source, and then a lower fat, source.
Create your plate, you guys. Yeah. That's it, right? Right there.
And then it was a really interesting process because in the beginning, I was the one designing the meals.
Mm-hmm.
And then because the team, they were not used to macro, the concept of macros.
Yeah.
So the chef knows to make tasty food, but he doesn't really know, you know, what should be there to make the meal fit the client's needs, you know? Yeah. So I was designing the meals and I was like, stick to the plan. Don't change anything. We need this, and this put together. And then as we progressed, I was like, we can make them involved more in the process by giving them the freedom to add to the meals, but then teach them the rules, you know?
Yeah.
So I had to sit with the team and explain all the principles for macros.
Oh, cool.
And explain how, you know, every meal has to have protein, carb,
Yeah.
And then I gave them the freedom to use the spices, like anything that doesn't have calories, like, you know, the herbs, the different spices and stuff. So, and then from there, we managed to get so much more variety because the chef was coming up with meals that have all the ingredients that we need. And then I was checking the taste to prove that and then tweak up the macros if needed. And then now they learned so much that we have like more than 52 meals.
So that's what I was going to ask, because you guys have such a variety of meals in different, I don't know what you would call them, like cuisines, like different styles too. And they're all so tasty, but they still fit you're getting your protein, you're getting your carb in, you're getting your fat in, you're getting your vegetables in. And just to give you guys an idea too of, okay, what's a good range per meal, because this is something I teach my ladies, is take your total macro targets for the day, divide them by how many meals you're having per day, which is typically going to be three meals and maybe one or two snacks. And that's going to give you about how many, you know, protein, carbs, and fat you need, which fits nicely with for athletes, like the type of ratio that you guys have. So just to give a quick range for my female ladies, typically I would say per meal, again, this will be individualized, but like for me, for example, 25 to 35 grams of protein per meal, great. 30 to 50 grams of protein per meal, great.
Carbs.
And then, carbs. Yes, thank you. Carbs. See, I told you she cracks my English. And then 10, I would say maybe like 7 to maybe 15 fat per meal, great. So just to give you a range. But you guys have so much variety of different meals within that and different sauces and different flavors. And so I was going to ask about kind of the creation process. And so it sounds like you kind of collaborated with chefs to get this idea. Is there any for the people listening who are like, okay, how can I think of that for my own meals? Like I've got I understand the quantity that's needed, but how can I like make it a little tasty, but still fit within that like macro friendly portions?
Yeah. So what we try to do is like to give different protein sources. So you would have like fish, chicken, meat, like all the protein sources. So throughout the week, you will have, you know, a variety of that. I'm also like pay attention to the micronutrients. So I make sure to change the veggies from day to day and from meal to meal and like to have all the colors, eat the rainbow, as we said. So you're not missing out on any of the micronutrients. And then for the sauces, like we find like the low fat yogurt is a good option to make low fat sauces. And then we play with the spices. So you will have like a coriander with the yogurt or mint, or you will have, for example, like the ranch sauce. We have like a tiny bit of mayonnaise, but a lot of low fat yogurt. So you have that different taste, but without adding
in a little of mayonnaise with the low fat yogurt.
Yeah.
That is genius.
Yeah.
Did not think of that.
Yeah. And then the sweet chili sauce with like, it's basically peppers and tomato and then spices, you know, mm-hmm. different spices would give different flavors, but the base is still the same. Yeah. And then as I said, the herbs and, you know.
Yeah. Okay. So it's really, okay, protein, it's protein, like pick any of them and then play with a ton of the herbs and seasonings, incorporate a lot of that. And then the carb sources mostly are going to be potatoes, rice. I think you guys also do couscous and yeah. a few other things. And then same thing, playing with
yeah. So yeah, flavors. We have like red rice, white rice, yeah. brown rice, yellow rice, mm-hmm. coconut rice, all the rices.
Yes.
And then sweet potato or potato as for the carbs. And then we only use an air fryer, so we don't fry anything, of course. So that's also allow us to keep the fat low,
yeah.
and then have like a crispiness to the, and then also like you have, we have the vegetarian options, which would be for the protein, like tofu or tempeh. We'd do like yeah. a barbecue sauce tempeh or air fried tofu. So you know you have different texture and different flavors with the same base.
Mm, okay, it's genius. So and then fat. You guys keep low because one, your proteins are all lean
yeah.
sources. You're not having like ribeye
no.
in there. And then carbs, typically you're going to be low in fat anyway. But then the sauces, I love how you guys do include a sauce because I'm definitely a sauce girl, but they're still low in yeah. fat because you use, it sounds like Greek yogurt mixed yeah. with a lot of different yeah. things. Oh, awesome. Okay. So I know a lot of my ladies are, not a lot of them. I would say some of them are like, oh, I really am picky. I don't want to eat this. I don't want to eat that. Or I just want to change things up. Or I just don't want to have a fish or meat at every meal, which you mentioned you use tofu and tempeh.
Yeah.
And you ever use, back home we have, I think it's called seitan. Seitan.
Seitan. it was available here at a certain point. I don't know if, but we have a lot. When we started Macro Kitchen, it was all gluten free, and seitan is basically gluten.
Yes.
So that's why we didn't look into it. But we have like vegan meat, vegan steak, vegan chicken, which is made of soy, seaweed, and some also like flavoring and spicing, which yeah. like our vegetarian client love. Some people don't really like the texture because it's a little bit dry.
Yeah.
But you know, with the sauce and stuff, it's yeah, it's
also I noticed well. Too, like certain meals that maybe are like the meat is lower in protein, like you guys have sweet peas in there, a yeah. good portion, which is going to get you a little bit of protein too. So things like that, I feel like help
yeah.
add up too.
Yeah. So that's why as well, when we make the macros, we take everything in consideration for on, you know, it adds up to the protein. It's not like the protein is yeah. only protein sauce. You have some protein from the peas, from the rice.
Or and
from
Greek yogurt.
Yeah.
It's going to have some protein yeah, in yeah. it too. Yeah. Oh, so that's another good option for if you guys are listening and wanting to like bump up your protein, but not do it just through fish or meat, kind of considering
yeah.
some of the things we've listed.
The beans as well.
Yeah.
You have to take, you have to also like take in consideration that it's going to bring the carbs up. But yeah, it's a good option if you have carb allowance.
That's a good point because the tofu and tempeh, it's just not something that I'm really familiar with, but it is a good option for some people. But there is
it comes carbs. Carbs and fat.
And fat. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
yeah. yeah. Okay, so the other thing you mentioned is it used to be gluten-free. I didn't know that, which a lot of my ladies I'm finding just, I know in the States the gluten's a little different and causes a lot of issues, but even just as more and more gut issues arise, a lot of people are more going dairy-free and more gluten-free. And so is there something that you kind of think of substituting to still hitting, I guess carbs is pretty easy because there's a lot of things that are gluten-free that are carbs, but maybe like sauces or for like dairy and stuff instead of using Greek yogurt. Is there another option that you guys think
yes.
about?
So for the, as I told you, like the, for Macro Kitchen, we started with all the meals were gluten-free, because when we came here, we noticed that many, many people want, like, preferred gluten-free. Mm-hmm. So we were using, like, oats flour for, like, the pancakes, for like, we have, like, tortillas, sweet potato, and cassava flour.
Oh, your new pancakes, the apple... Cinnamon. Oh, yeah. Man, they're gluten-free, and they're absolutely incredible.
Yeah. So we included some meals with gluten, with, like, you know, wheat flour now, but you know, it can, the meal plan can be completely gluten-free. For the dairy, for the yogurt, we can substitute with coconut yogurt. Mm-hmm. It's not gonna be the same macros though. So it's gonna be higher in fat. So I would take that in consideration when I build the meal. So I would go lower fat on the protein sauce, for example, because I know that the sauce is going to add some of the fat.
Yep.
With the coconut yogurt. What was the other?
That was it. Dairy and gluten.
Yeah.
Yep. That was it. So kind of, is there anything else that you think would be beneficial to talk about in terms of, like, macro kitchen and creating meals and thinking through that process? I think we covered a lot, but is there anything else that we missed there?
The food volume, maybe. That was something also that was coming up a lot with the creating the meals.
Mm-hmm.
Some people prefer, like, big portions, but some people prefer smaller portions. I think that when, you know, it depends what's the goal. So if somebody is trying to, for example, go on a diet and cut the calories, it's important to keep the food volume high enough so they're not starving, you mm-hmm. know? So, I mean, I read some studies about, like, if you present someone with the same volume of food that they used to eat, but then less calorie dense food. So, for example, if you're gonna split the rice in half in the meal, but then compensate that by more veggies, they feel less hungry if that you just cut the calories and don't give more volume, you know.
Yeah.
So we took that in consideration creating the meal. So if somebody goes with the low calorie meals, we make sure that the meals still have enough volume so they don't feel like they are really hungry.
That's a really good point. Yeah. And just applying it to the ladies I work with and that are probably listening, typically you're going to be in one of two phases. You're either going to be eating at maintenance or at eating lots of food. And sometimes you feel stuffed, right? Or full. You should never feel really, like, stuffed, but maybe you feel full, or you're like, oh my gosh, I got to get all of this food in. So choosing foods that are denser, actually just did a podcast on this, high volume versus, like, dense, dense foods. I think it's number 85, maybe 86, but that's a great time to include those, because you can get more calories in when it's harder to hit your targets. And then vice versa, if you're in a deficit, and let's say you're like, oh, I'm so used to eating so much more food, you can do exactly what she just said of having more volume, but not necessarily more calories. So,
we also had, like, the opposite problem, that people would come to us for weight loss, and then they get them. They get the meals. I'm like, are you sure I'm going to lose weight? It's so much food. I'm like, please trust the process, yes. Eat the food. But because they used to eat so much, like, processed and low volume for lots of calories, they feel like it's so lots of food.
Yeah.
And then they start losing the weight and they're like, oh my God, I'm losing weight, but I'm eating more. But they're not really eating more. They're eating more volume.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a really good point. Okay. So moving into, like, you personally and how you apply it, I think everyone could really benefit from just your, like, mindset and approach and, like, just, like, living and breathing macros. But you do it in such a way where you're so consistent, you're really on top of it. But also, we go on vacation together and we go out to eat together and we do all these things that I feel like a lot of people are like, oh, I want to be normal, in which you also do. So just talking about being consistent with macros and living and breathe it, how did you, like, get to this point, and how does it, what seems like, come so natural to you? Or do you remember it not and you learning it? Or is there, like, a thought process behind it?
It's definitely changed a lot. When I started tracking macros in the beginning, it was just to stay under 1,200 calories.
Yes, everyone, the magic number, 1,200.
That was the main goal. Like, yeah, I don't have, and if I go over, I have to compensate the next day. It was madness. And then with CrossFit, as I told you, like with the mindset shift, I was tracking to make sure I'm eating enough, you know? And then, yeah, so just like, I did it for so long that it became more like, it gives me more freedom than it's a burden.
Yeah.
So I feel when I'm tracking, I can eat what I want rather than I'm not tracking to restrict myself.
Yes.
You know? And then also like I did it for so long, I think that I, it gives me more freedom because I know what I need. So I know the sequence of the meals and what every meal has to have. So even if I eat out, like by just looking at the meal, I would know, or I would take a picture. And then when I go home, I would track it and it would be much easier, of course, than when I started, you know?
Okay. So a few things that you just said in there that are brilliant. One, you know how to estimate macros. It sounds like, right? So you can go out and you can estimate to feel confident that you're still being directional, which I feel like is so important. And that's definitely one of the reasons why I teach my ladies that, because that is how you kind of combine the two of hitting targets, but also still like living your life. The other thing you said is it creates more freedom. And I know some people are like, how? No way. If I can eat whatever I want at any moment, at any time. But I think the way you're thinking of it is, I have more freedom and I'm still making progress.
Yes.
And I don't feel like uncomfortable. I remember one time you said, I think being stuffed is more uncomfortable than being hungry.
That was during Ramadan.
Yes.
Remember? Yeah,
yes.
Yeah. Because after a long time not doing it, I don't know if the ladies know about Ramadan.
So fasting. They might have heard about it, but you can explain what it is.
So fasting is, for the Muslim culture, religion is 1 month a year where you don't eat from sunrise to sunset.
And you don't drink anything either, which I didn't know. And that is crazy. Like nothing can touch your tongue. So no water all day.
Yeah. So I didn't do it for maybe 10 years. And then this year I just decided to try it again, just to feel connected with the family, you know, and just to, you know, see how I do with it. And then, but I wanted still to hit my macros, you know, but that's the priority, you know, but I was like, okay, let's see if I can do it. So I would stop eat, like I would wake up at 5 before sunrise to have breakfast and then stop eating until 6 PM and drinking. And then 6 PM I had to have all my nutrition and my fluids.
Yeah.
So both. And it was horrible.
Yeah.
I was just, and I would go to sleep stuffed and it was so uncomfortable. Wake up at 5 o'clock and I was still stuffed and I had to eat breakfast. And I was like, that's not good. Like it's much more uncomfortable than being hungry.
A little hungry. Yeah. And I think like the way people listening could do this, if they haven't experienced Ramadan before, is if you go out to dinner and, or what a lot of my ladies do is they'll be like, oh, I'm going out to dinner tonight. So I'm just going to eat like a little today because I'm going out to dinner. And then by the time they get to dinner, they're so starving that they're like, everything looks good. I need everything in my mouth now. And they just go to town, but their hunger signals haven't caught up yet. And so by the time they do, they're stuffed, they're miserable, their belly hurts, and they feel awful.
Yeah.
So not quite the same. Obviously yours is a lot more extreme and there's more purpose behind it. But I remember you saying that and really connecting with him, like, yes, that definitely probably is running in the back of your mind of you feel better when you are tracking macros. Like you feel better, you know they're working towards your goals, you have more flexibility and freedom. And like that makes it easier.
Yeah. That being said, if I'm at maintenance, is you know, eating out and socializing and stuff is it like, and eyeballing and guesstimating is easier. If it's I'm in a dieting phase or cutting weight, then I would take my scale with me and I would be more dialed in, but I still, you know, still possible to eat out and, you know.
Yes.
But I just don't want to be over because of a certain goal or set a certain deadline or, you know.
Yeah. That's a really good point too, because there are basically two phases when it comes to nutrition, the nutrition strategy, right? You're either in what I call the lifestyle phase, which essentially at maintenance or building, which you do have more flexibility, like you were saying, or you can estimate when you're out. Or if you're in a calorie deficit phase and you're like really focused on decreasing body fat and losing weight, then you have to be more precise and more accurate, especially when you get to the level that you're at and some of my ladies are at, where it's like you don't have a lot of wiggle room. You're already lean. You are already what people call like lifestyle lean and even like fitness lean. So then getting leaner than that, you really have to be more precise and more accurate. And so I love that you are like, yeah, I'll just take my food scale out to dinner with me and it's not a problem. Because I feel like so many people would be like, I can't do that. Oh my gosh. But I feel like it comes down to, I don't know, it's like a character or a characteristic or something that you definitely have to adapt to achieve these goals, because they are not normal, right? The not just you, like me, my ladies, like we don't want to live normal. We don't want to feel normal. We don't want to look normal, because at least in the States, right, that average is not what we're going for, even for health-wise. And so we have to live a different way. And it takes being bold. So the other day, this was last week, the week before, we just had a weekend trip with some of our friends and one of our girlfriends. And then we sometimes do Thursday night dinners. And so we just spent all weekend together. And then a couple days later, she's like, hey guys, do you want to go Thursday night dinner? And Matt, or Henham just replied in text like, no, I can't do tonight. Like I'm, you know, doing this and that with my food, and it just doesn't align. Yeah. Right. But it was just like so easy, confident, and no problem. And she is like, that works for me too. Okay, we'll do it again, you know, whatever time.
Yeah, it's like there's three solution. Either I don't go out, either I go out with my scale, or I go out with my food. Yeah. And they are three good options, right?
Yeah, because you're in a deficit phase now.
Yeah.
So, okay. So this, if you guys can like kind of piece together, we just had a weekend trip where you weren't in the deficit phase, right? So, and you actually took a little break from tracking where there, but obviously you know how to estimate. So you're pretty directional the entire time, but again, just take a little break from maybe being so on top of it mentally. Then you come back, you go into your deficit phase, and then you're like, no, I'm committed to this. If you want to go to dinner, here are my options. You don't go, which, because we just had so much social activity, that's probably one reason not to go. The second one is I bring my food scale. And then the third option is I bring my food, which I feel like, yeah, like hell yeah. Because there's been many times where I've gone out to eat, and this is like if I've done gut protocols or whatever, or I've done weekend trips with my friends and we're like hiking and exploring, and I go out to eat and I eat before and just sit with them and talk. And it's like it can be normal. I'm putting in quotes normal. Yeah. It's just whatever you make normal. But do you have any tips or suggestions? Because I know some people really struggle with that, especially if they're surrounded by like friends and family who aren't in the like fitness world or don't understand it and maybe think it's like, oh, what are you doing? Oh, what? You can't have this. I mean, I know every time I go home, my parents are like, oh, you can't eat this, can you? You can't do this, can you? Yeah. And I'm like, you don't get it.
So what was the question? Sorry.
Do you have any tips or suggestions for those people who are in that scenario around friends and family who just like don't get it or give them a hard time? Or
I mean, I'm in the same position when I go home because, you know, they just think I don't eat anything. And they always like making everything around food, like feel like awkward. And then I just got used to it. You know, I try to explain to them as well, like, how they can make better choices. But I feel like some of my family members are really, really open and want to make changes, and they really listen to me. And then some of them, like my dad, he's like, no, it's too late now. I'm not changing anything. Good luck with your
That's
with your
my dad, yeah, for sure.
But yeah, so just I try to explain to them as well that I have freedom and I eat a lot of food. Just, you know, you know, I don't have to eat the way they do, but I'm also can be with them and sit with them and have my own
your own meal.
Meal, yeah.
Okay, I think that's a really good point, because I know so many people think like, oh, but like eating together is like bonding, it's a connection thing, which I totally get. But your food touching your tongue, yeah. and their food touching their tongue is not what bonds you guys. Yeah. Yeah. It is the time together or the like the chats that you have during that time. Yeah. It's like coordinating something together. It's
yeah, but you know, what you're also trying to teach is really, really powerful because of if you learn how to build your plate, then you can be in any situation and still make it work. You know, when I go to lunch with my family, the meal is still going to have protein, still going to have carbs, and still going to have fat. And I can make the choices that would fit with the plate I want to build and then be eating the same food, you know. Yes. I would be sometimes wiping up my my meat with a napkin.
Okay, that's actually something I learned from you because a lot of meats, especially if they're fattier, they're going to just be greasier yeah. or have oil on them, even yeah. some like carbs, right? Or vegetables.
Yeah. If it's shiny, it's not good.
Yes. Okay. So shiny. If it comes out shiny, then I've seen you like take a napkin in and remove some of it, which will help remove the fat.
Yeah.
Obviously, one reason to do that is to hit your macro targets. But honestly, another reason for me, like I feel awful if I have too much. Like anytime you go out and if it's going to be vegetable oil and going to be like inflammatory, then I feel awful afterwards. And the next day I feel inflamed and I just don't want to feel that way.
Yeah. Definitely. Like at restaurant here all the time, first thing we ask for is less oil, sauce on the side.
That's another thing that you guys do that I never thought to ask of is to ask for
less oil
on everything. Just make a blanket statement on every single thing, less oil or no
sauce
oil.
On the side, all the time.
Yes. Yeah. Another thing that you did that I didn't even think about was when we go out to brunch, which we're going this weekend too, to ask for egg whites. Mm-hmm. I just assumed it would just be something that like most hadn't heard of but you do it all the time and they do egg whites.
Yeah.
Now, when we went the other weekend, he was like, "Oh, yeah, I can do egg whites," and then poured a ton of oil and then plop the egg whites into the oil to cook. And we're like, no, you gotta redo that.
But that's he was very happy to do it again, though.
Oh, yeah. He loved it because I think he probably got sick of doing the same thing over again. And we were like a crew that changed it up for him. Yeah. But any other things that you think of when you go out to eat to help make it more macro friendly and be directional with your goals, but also just to feel better too?
Yeah, so as you said, like the eating out, the thing that makes the meal not align with the macros mostly is the hidden oils.
Yeah,
you know the way they cook and the way. So that's a big thing, and also because it makes you feel bad. When we just got here, we also noticed that always ask for double protein because the protein portion is tiny. Mm-hmm. So it's always like extra chicken or extra meat or extra fish.
Yeah. Which that's typically, just to give you some numbers, I find that if you go out to eat, it's typically going to be 2 to 3 ounces, which in grams, it's like 50 to 85 grams of protein, which actual protein would be, I don't know, like maybe 15-ish grams of protein to maybe 20. But typically, if you heard, most people, when at least my ladies, will need 25 to 35. So doubling that makes it really favorable.
Yeah.
Okay, one question I had for you was, and it could be what you've already explained, but I think addressing it directly would be beneficial for people because you are so on top of it. And I know... Obviously, within that, there's varying degrees of on top of it purposefully. But I think to an outsider or one of my ladies, they might be like, oh my gosh, she's always so on top of it with her macros and her nutrition, but she's not overly obsessed. And some of my ladies who have been maybe really on it and they're like tracking down to the gram, or they do enough of that and they're like, oh my gosh, I can't. This is overwhelming, or something else in life happens and then I'm off and kind of yo-yo back and forth. But I find that you are very on top of it, but you're not overly obsessed. And then there's no major like yo-yoing. Can you talk about that a little bit?
I think it's because I give myself freedom to eat the stuff I like. So I don't feel like I'm restricted. And I also I'm a foodie. I love food. Mm-hmm. So I would have dessert every night. But then it's a macro friendly dessert. You know, I would have a square of dark chocolate with a casein or Greek yogurt with some berries. So I have the freedom.
Yeah.
But then still align with the macros. That being said, I would have, like, that last weekend, for example, when we went, or 2 weekends ago when we went on holidays, I would have the breakfast buffet, and I would be, it's fine, it's just for 2 days, I'm going to be off tracking this weekend. Mm-hmm. I still have the eye, and yeah. I know that I need to have the protein, and then, you know, but I'm going to be for sure over on fat, for example, because I'm going to have the croissant, or I'm going to, you know, but I know that it's not a big deal, because that's not going to happen every day.
Yeah.
It's going to happen once, you know, and then I'm going to be okay for 4 weeks, and then it's going to maybe happen again. So I know now with experience that if that happens, it's not a big deal.
Yes.
I don't also have to screw up the rest of the day because I had the croissant in the morning.
Yeah.
Another thing is also, like, I think with time, I learned, like, some food makes me feel bad, as you said. So I know that sometimes I would be craving, I don't know, let's say my downfall is maybe ice cream, and I would have a big portion with, you know, two scoops of, you know, fatty ice cream. And then I would feel so bad after, and it's not worth the way I would feel.
Mm-hmm.
So next time, like, with experience, I would have, like, half a scoop, for example, enjoy it and be happy with it, instead of having, you know, the double portion, because I'm scared of, how you say that, like, missing out.
Yeah.
You
know? Yeah. Yeah. That's a really good point. Yeah. And I feel like I can visualize, like, I'm very, like, visual person. So I can visualize, like, okay, you do this 90% of the time, yeah, but within that 90%, you have, like, 10% of that is already flexible. Like, you mm-hmm. have your dessert, but your dessert is macro-friendly, higher quality Greek yogurt, a dark chocolate and berries, and maybe some chocolate protein and mixed all together. And then you have your 10% of the time where you do, like, we'll go out to eat sometimes and we will get the dessert. Actual yep. dessert that's not macro-friendly,
yep.
but we have an idea of, oh, that's going to be a lot of fat and that's going to be a lot of carbs. And we may not, like, we'll guesstimate and maybe not, like, okay, we know how much to have to be directional, but we also know not to go over that to feel stuffed and uncomfortable,
yeah.
and then miserable. That's a really, really a perfect example too. Like, today, typically I would not order bún chả, which is like Vietnamese. It's rice noodles, and then it is like pork belly, like uh-huh. a very fatty pork. So typically I get chicken in rice noodles, like if I order from this place. But today I was like, I really, really want the bún chả.
Mm-hmm.
And so I got it. And I'm like, yeah, it's not a big deal. I'm just going to have to up my protein for the rest of the day.
Yeah.
I mean, now that I've had it, and then I was hungrier, right? Because I wasn't getting as much protein.
Yeah.
And then the quality of fat doesn't feel as great. It's kind of like, oh, I don't really want that again for a long time.
Yeah.
But it's not a big deal
yeah.
that I got it,
yeah.
right? Because it's not something I do.
Yeah. And really it's fine. You know, as you said, like for the my downfall as well is the almond croissant, which is like a lot of fat from the almonds.
I love
almonds.
How you say croissant. Say it again.
Croissant.
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 Okay. We're in our French. No
tea. Tea is there, but you don't pronounce it.
Oh, silent tea. Haven't heard of those. Okay. Croissant.
Croissant.
Okay, I'll keep practicing.
Okay, so yeah, so the big croissant with the almonds and the, you know, the cream inside, it's very, very fatty, and that would be, okay, I want it, and I'm going to have it.
Yeah.
And then, as you said, I'm going to have it, and then I'm going to be hungry because I used to have my big bowl of protein porridge, you know, with lots of fruits, and it's much more filling and satisfying than
yeah.
the croissant. And then I'm going to be hungry for the rest of the day. But I had the croissant, and it's not going to happen for, you know, 4 weeks until yeah. I crave it again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, like you are your average.
Yes.
So when you're average, like literally, and I know some people may think that's vague. I'm talking the actual math, right? If you took your average calories consumed and macros consumed from Sunday to Saturday, right? And did the math, like you're going to be your average of that. Like one croissant on one day of that, of 1 month, right? It's just like a little
yeah.
blimp in,
yeah.
in the radar.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's really helpful as far as how you view macros, a few tips on how to like apply them and also live your life. However, you're also an athlete, And I think a lot of my athletes or a lot of my ladies are either athletes or performing is still important to them. And I think as they understand it more, it becomes of more importance because like we talked about at the beginning, it when that's more of the priority, it becomes almost more fun because you have different goals to shoot for. And then at an indirect result of that is your physique improves and you look better and then you feel stronger. And so I know your main priority is being an athlete and being competitive. And so you are a weightlifter, but you've done that. You transitioned from CrossFit to weightlifting, mm-hmm. right? And then you did a master's competition recently, and then you qualified for nationals in that, I believe. Or that was the High Rocks. You've done a lot. Kind of give us a, and then you won a competition here too. So kind of give us a few things that you've recently done in your placing, and then we'll talk about more about nutrition.
So from CrossFit, I find myself like enjoying more the weightlifting bit. Mm-hmm. So I decided to just dedicate myself to weightlifting, and I've been enjoying it so much that I was okay. I'm gonna sign up for a competition. So I did the master competition in New Zealand last year. Mm-hmm. That was my first ever competition in weightlifting at 41 years old.
So cool.
I did a few competitions here and the qualifier for a big competition that is happening in Bali. And I qualified for that. Mm-hmm. So after doing the New Zealand competition, I wanted to take a break a little bit. I've been doing solely weightlifting for 2 years.
And if you guys don't know, I think a lot of you know what weightlifting is, but it's essentially the three lifts or two lifts. It is the clean and jerk and then the snatch.
So after the New Zealand competition, I wanted to take a break just to do something different. And I signed up for a High Rocks competition with my friend. We did a double. Mm-hmm. It was really, really so it was fun, you know, and we qualified for the words for that.
Okay.
And
High Rocks it's kind of new. I hadn't really heard of it before you guys were doing it, but you went to Hong Kong to do the competition. I think they have them sporadic over the world, but it's essentially a more like endurance type of CrossFit, right? Yeah, is that how you describe it?
It's basically, it's running and 8 workouts. So you do 1 kilometer run, then 1 workout, 1 kilometer, one workout, which is like the workouts are sled push, sled pull, farmer's walk, lunges, weighted lunges, wall balls. So it's, it's endurance, strength and endurance. It was fun, but it requires a different fuel, a different kind of, training. So we did that for 2 months. What was the question? Sorry.
Well, and now you're going to go back to weightlifting.
Yeah. And then after that, I mm-hmm. went back to weightlifting. Yeah.
Okay. So then as far as like nutrition and fueling yourself, from my understanding and what I talk about with my ladies is that nutrition because a lot of them are like, yeah, I want to perform, but I want to look the part. I want to look like I'm an athlete. And I think nutrition really overlaps in that area to a certain point, right? In timing around it. So how do you apply nutrition given being an athlete? And then when you're in a deficit phase, right? And you're cutting for weight. So in weightlifting, you have to make weight and be a certain weight. And so that does require going into a calorie deficit phase, decreasing body fat, decreasing weight. How do you think about all of that?
Well, that's a very interesting question because I shifted my mindset from being skinny to being strong.
Yeah.
And with that came the shape I built through that, which is more muscle and actually less body fat.
Yeah.
At a certain point, to get stronger in weightlifting, you have to either go up on weight or be really patient. So, for example, my husband would push me to like eat more, so you can get stronger. But I think I have a limit,
yes.
And I don't want to go over that. So, I think the heaviest I've been is 65 kilos. I don't know if what's that in pound.
2.204, so 65. So that's around like 140, maybe. Yeah.
So, and then you feel like, you know, when I started at 60 kilos, and then I went up to 65 through like 2.5 years or 3 years.
So like a 10-pound difference.
And then so I was competing on the 64 kilos category. Mm-hmm. So I have to be under 64.
Okay.
anywhere in between 60 and 64. But of course, the heaviest, the better, because you're going to be competing with ladies at the same weight.
And then you
feel that at a certain point, like the progress kind of slows down and you have to push with the food to get stronger.
And then
I have my limit, 65. I'm not going up with that.
Yeah.
I'm just going to be here. And he's like, eat more. I'm like, no, I'm happy with that. I'm going to see how much I can push at this weight, you know?
Yeah.
And then after that, I think.
Let's kind of break that down a little bit.
Yeah.
So essentially you're saying like you have like your maintenance shape, right? And if you eat at your maintenance calories, which do you happen to know your maintenance calories? Like, is it around
2,200 calories.
2,200 calories. So that's a lot of food compared to 1,200 calories back in the day, right? And then you have a fantastic shape that you feel really good in, but you also have gained a lot of muscle. You feel really strong. And so essentially, once you get to a certain point where I'd say you're like more advanced, right? And you have less body fat and you have more muscle and you've been training for longer. In order to put on more muscle, to do that, you have to train really hard, and then you might have to go into a surplus, a calorie surplus, meaning she would be eating more than 2,200 calories. And with that, you allow yourself to put on more muscle more easily, but it also comes with some body fat.
Yeah. And then from that, you can cut down after that.
Yes.
So that's where I decided to cap it there.
Yeah.
And then now I went down to 62 again.
Okay.
And then now the new challenge is to keep my strength and then go down to 59. So I'm just enjoying the process and playing around with that. So now, you know, the plan is to try to go a couple of kilos down and maintain the strength. We're not going to try to get stronger while I'm cutting down because that's really, really hard to do. I mean, it can happen sometimes, but if you're just starting, for newbies, it can happen. But as you, with training age, it's really hard to get strong as you're cutting.
Okay. That's a good point too, because I'll have a lot of ladies who they maybe were eating really, really low before, and then now they built up to, let's say they were eating 1,200 calories, they built up to 2,000 calories, and then they're in the deficit phase at like 1,600, and they're like, I'm still hitting PRs, I'm feeling great. One, because their body's like, oh, this is still a lot of food for me. And then two, it's the first time that they've been able to eat a lot while they're training, or maybe they've only been training, you know, progressive overload for a couple of years. So they still they're in the position that they can still put on muscle. They're still making progress. They feel great, all of that. But kind of like we said, as your body gets more and more fine tuned, then your like nutrition and your training, all of that is more impacted. Margin of the error is greater, less.
Yeah, you guys know what I mean. It has to be more dialed in.
Yes, has to be more dialed in, and then more things impact it. So yeah, that's a really good point too. Okay, so going back to if you go under 60 kilos, so essentially 59 kilos would be the weight class that you're now shooting for. And so the goal is you're in the calorie deficit, but you are still trying to maintain your strength and not lose your strength. Mm-hmm. And so how are you doing that? Are you just going slower?
Yeah.
Okay.
Definitely. Yeah. So I would do 5 days a week on a deficit and 2 days a week back up to maintenance. That 2 days a week would be the days where the training volume and intensity is the highest. So I feel good when I do those sessions, so I can push hard. And then I know that it's going to be slower because you're doing this that way. I have time. I'm not in a rush. So yeah.
Okay. And so how do you know you have time? And the reason being, because I think, for example, we the other weekend, we were talking with our friend and she was like, I want to be shredded for my birthday. And she was like, I'm going to start on this date. And then my birthday is 2 weeks later. And both of us were like, you do realize that that's not how it works. It takes way longer than 2 weeks. But I think people are just kind of clueless, or they've heard of 14-day diets or 30-day diets, and they don't understand that. I mean, for my ladies, I see about an average of half a pound to maybe a pound. Is that what you typically see?
Yeah.
Per week. And then you can literally just map that out over weeks.
Yeah.
And then kind of like you said, I have no time. I imagine it's because, or I have plenty of time. Is that because you were like, oh, the competition I would do would be X far away. I start my diet now. If we're only going to lose a half pound to a quarter per week, it gives us, is that the kind of
exactly? Yeah, yeah. Because if you want to go aggressive, you can, but you know that you're going to lose mostly water in the beginning, and then it's going to come also with mass loss if you go too aggressive.
Yep.
So if you want to keep as much lean muscle as you want, as possible, and then lose the fat, it cannot be fast. It has to be progressive, and it has to be sustainable, you know.
So how long do you plan on being in the deficit for?
12 weeks, okay. Probably. Yeah.
Yeah, 12 weeks. And then this is a really good point, too, because a lot of my ladies will say when they're in the deficit phase, okay, well, is it okay if I don't have my targets, if I'm eating less? And I'm like, no, it's not. Well, for a handful of reasons I see, because one, I feel like bodies thrive off of consistency, not only like internally hitting your macros, but also routine wise for mm-hmm. the individual. But then also, we want to preserve muscle mass. Yeah. Like the goal is to build your shape. It's not to just lose weight and lose muscle.
Yeah.
So is that typically what you see too?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Okay. Super helpful. Now, the final thing I want to talk about, I remember you said back in the day, you used to be afraid of carbs. This is very typical. I see it all the time. I'm running all the time and I'm afraid of carbs and I'm eating 1200 calories. It's like everyone goes through it. Mm-hmm. And now I feel like it's the opposite. You're like, I've got to get in my carbs. You're mm-hmm. lifting. And you kind of have totally shifted mentally with that. Can you just kind of tell me how that process happened for you and kind of explain it a little bit?
I think it's when I used not to have any understanding about nutrition. Mm-hmm. So you just, that's what you hear, you know, everyone is going keto, everyone is eating less carbs. And I didn't really know that carbs is the main fuel, mm-hmm. especially for high intensity training and CrossFit when I started CrossFit. And then I was like, oh, okay. And I started experiencing myself that, you know, with having the carbs, I had more energy. I had more, I felt better. Sleep was better. And then I was like, okay. And then as I did my nutrition degree, of course, I understood more and more about the mechanism and how it works and everything. And also I think what would, I don't know how to say that. Fuck up people's mind.
Yeah.
can we say the F word?
Yeah.
It's like when you eat, you have a heavy carb meal and you go on the scale the next day and it's like up 1 or 2 pounds and you're like, oh my God, it's the carbs, you know?
Yeah.
I didn't understand that was water retention, and if it's a meal out, might be a little bit of inflammation and stuff like that. And then, you know, I understood with time that with consistency, basically, you're going to have your glycogen stores full from the carbs, and it's going to be consistent. If you're having 2 days off carbs and 1 day high carbs, the scale is going to be fluctuating a lot, and mm-hmm. it's going to be, messing up your mindset. Oh, I'm put on weight because I ate carbs, or I lost the weight because I didn't eat carbs, which is not the case.
Yeah. Or I had one bad food and now I instantly gained weight. Yeah. And I see that too. Yeah. And it's like, well, actually, is it body fat? Probably not. So it sounds like understanding and education, having the education was probably the biggest thing that shifted everything. And I really emphasize that because I feel like ladies are not empowered with nutrition. I don't know how it is in Tunisia, but we are never taught this. We were taught like the old school food pyramid, and that was about it. Yeah. And honestly, from my understanding, from what I've heard, is even our medical professionals only get 2 hours of nutrition education.
Yeah.
And so it's just not known. Is that how it was in Tunisia too?
Same. I'm a physio by trade, and we had very, very little understanding of nutrition, just the basics of the macros.
Yeah.
Like really, really little understanding of nutrition. And even like now, I see how it's important when you're injured, and how, you know, it's a big part of rehabilitation when you're injured to have enough fuel and the right fuel to recover from the injury, that I'm like, why are we not, you know, thought that that's cool, you know? Yeah.
Yeah, that's a really good point in that field too.
Yeah.
Didn't think about that. Okay, awesome. Well, this has been really informative. I think everyone has learned a lot, and it's just been cool to hear your story. I feel like I probably knew a lot of that, but I learned some things too. And is there anything else that we didn't cover that you want to share when we talk about macros or meal planning or performance versus aesthetics. I mean, we really covered a lot, but anything else that you want to share to the listeners?
I think we covered everything.
Yeah, I think we did too. Yeah. Well, thank you so much for coming on and joining us. You're welcome. And then if you guys want to learn more about Henim and Macro Kitchen, where can they learn more and maybe follow along?
So Macro Kitchen Bali is the Instagram page, and okay. Henim's Lab is my Instagram.
Yeah, Henim's Lab. And I asked her, I was like, wait, is your last name Lab? But no, it's like Henim's _LAB, right? Yeah. And Henim is HENEM, and that would be S _ LAB. And can you just explain that a little bit more?
It's just like my Instagram was me doing experiences. So it's my lab.
Yeah.
Experiencing with training, with nutrition, and with life.
Yeah. So you can see all of her weightlifting training and some of her good meals and all of that there. All right. Thank you guys. And I'll see you next week on the Create Your Shade podcast.
Hey, if you work out and want to look like you work out, then you need to be in the Create Your Shape program. Learn more and get started at jennythenutritionist.com/create-your-shape. You can also follow me on Instagram for more content at jennythenutritionist.